State Farmers or any of the other carriers, but believe me, neither they nor anyone who's operating a successful and large body shop did so on the basis of being a flim-flam man, because State Farm and Allstate are the biggest companies in the world to insure the American automobile, or as far as that's concerned, any automobile. As a net result, they didn't become that by flim-flamming the public, shortchanging them at every opportunity. The insurance industry is built against the law of large numbers. It's also built and was set up with the idea that it might make a profit. However, it would interest all of you to know that in the last 2 years, we have lost more on insuring the automobile than the manufacturer has in building it. However, that's not your problem. It is ours. But our underwriting results on all the physical damage claims we have is absolutely atrocious. So much for that. Let us look again at this bill, because I happen to agree to an extent with my predecessors that perhaps the bill does not say what some of our people, who I assume are as learned as the rest of them, think, but that is that it does seem to me that it confines and restricts not to the benefit of the public, but to the benefit of the Oregon Auto Body Craftsmen's Association, which is why I think that they are here in mass, is because this will put not more money necessarily in their pocket, but it will take more from the insurance industry who get and derive all of theirs from the body public. And they are the ones who are going to pay it. Let us look at Section 3 on page 2. The second one under Section 3, an insurer under motor vehicle liability policy shall not recommend to the insured the repairs of a motor vehicle be made by a particular person. We don't direct the particular person. But this could also be interpreted that it cannot be direction at all. We do try to direct by class. For instance, if the insured has a broken windshield, a comprehensive loss, we try to refer to a glass specialty shop. And let me tell you why, and it'd be interesting to you members who are in the audience that are of the public. The body shop industry already knows it. And that is, discounts is an item that we have heard a time or two today. Let me tell you what the discount structure is in glass. It is list less 90%, which means net plus 1,000%. If you're unfortunate, or fortunate as the case may be, to own a General Motors product with a wire antenna in the windshield, this wire antenna costs 11 cents. It has a 17 cent pigtail made by Packard, a division of General Motors. The retail price of that windshield is $32 more with that wire antenna than the same windshield without the wire antenna. So that's why we are interested in directing by class or by group. And as my predecessor says, we do not try to take the lowest or cheapest place in town, but we do not try to pay at the highest place in town. This is merely good business. All of you, including those who operate a body shop, all of you in the legislature, when you got together with your wife on how's the weekly shopping going, do you suggest that she go down to 7-Eleven? I think not. I think you ask her to read the ads in Safeway, to take advantage of the coupon discounts, to take advantage of the sales. I think that's good of business. I think that's the American system. I think it is free competition. And I think that's the way that this business should be ran. I think that that should be the way that every committee operates for the good of the public. And I think competition, free competition, can do this. Again, in Section 4, you wish the body shop to put up the sign pursuant to Oregon insurance law, an insurance company may not require that repairs be made to a private passenger of motor vehicle by a particular person or repair shop. You have the right to have your automobile repaired in the shop of your choice. This is absolutely true. We buy it. But the connotation, the inference, is going to be when the man that drives his car in sues that, he is not going to be at all interested in the competitive price, because this is where his car is, this is where the sign is, the body shop manager, and you know he's going to. He's going to tell him that we can do as good a job as anybody, and if we have any disagreement, we'll take it up with your insurance company. Now, this is fine in principle, and the thought is great, but it does freeze out a little bit of the competitive estimate approach. Let me give you a quotation. I'd be glad if you'll give me your card, Senator. I'll be glad to send you down the photostats of these estimates where we had a claimant that we hit, God bless her, went out and got five estimates. They went from $454 to $142, and I called her up long distance after she had it prepared in the $142 ones and said, how did you do? How was the job? She said, not only was it wonderful, she said, I think if I kept going, I might have got it fixed for nothing. And that is absolutely the truth. I'll be glad to send you the estimates, and you can call the lady up if you like. But we also mentioned another thing, that in many times, as my predecessor said, for years, when I was out in the field, I would find estimates laying in the car that were much lower than the ones they sent us. But they wanted to cast settlement on the low of the ones they sent us, and then they would have it repaired in the low of the ones that they hadn't turned in. The American public, you know,
Don't you make the check out? We heard testimony the check was made out to the insured as well as the garage that does the repair work. How would they?
The only place where we insist on putting anybody's name on the check other than the named insured is when there is a lien holder. We must protect the lien holder. If the insured wants a cash settlement, the insured gets a cash settlement, providing that the lien holder is protected. We have no right to tell the claimant who must have his name on that check. We owe only the claimant. And half of our losses, you know, are going to involve claimants from time to time. So as a net result, we do not try, we protect the repair when we know that repair is going to do the job. If we have written the estimate on, then we have appraisers in this state, they're competent, they're qualified, they're not too weak wonders, they're qualified people who largely came from body shops. We have the body shop protected, and we got our checks out just as soon as we possibly conceivably can. And I don't think we have many complaints with the body shop industry in Oregon. But getting back to the bill, again in Section 5, and Section 5 starts, an insurer that issues a liability insurance policy shall include therein, conspicuously and easily read, the insured's responsibility after damage to his vehicle as to, number two, advising the insurer or designated agency of the damage report which had been written by a person capable of executing the repairs, but who was not an agent or employee of the insurer. Now, in spite of the fact that Mr. Wyman said that this does not say we cannot write our own, it would mean that under these circumstances, we would come in second. And psychologically speaking, the man who writes the second estimate is going to have an awful hard time convincing the man who wrote the first one that he was high, particularly if the man who wrote the first one was high. And in many instances, if they think they have the job locked in, that there will be no competitive estimate, they aren't going to write it so that it's as cheap as they think it can be done. And that's only human nature. And by the way, if you agree with nothing else, under item number 7, initiating against the insurer arbitration proceeding, change the word arbitration to appraisal, because that is in virtually all policies as a provision, and that is whenever the insured and the insurer disagree as to the amount of damages, an appraisal may be called by either. And by the way, I virtually have that portion of the policy memorized. I've worked for this company 16 years, 5 another company before that. And if it helped any, for those who are in the body shop, I ran my own shop for 12 years before that, right after World War I. The reason I got out of it wasn't because it wasn't a gold mine, but because I couldn't stand the Bondo dust, and I didn't like the people that I was hiring telling me they still wanted the same number of hours when they were taking most of them to fill it full of Bondo. And I think there's some problem with that with journeymen today. Now, questions, be my guest.
What companies are you with? United Pacific and Reliant, also Reliant Insurance Company?
Reliance Insurance Company. Reliance Insurance Company has a home office in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
I see you have the United Pacific listed here, too.
United Pacific is the home office domiciled out of Tacoma, Washington.
Tacoma, right.
We write in 7 Western states as a primary carrier with a deviated carrier of Reliance.
Do you have the drive-in?
We have a few drive-ins. We had one in Portland. We closed it during the gas shortage. We have never reopened it. We have one in Salt Lake. We have one in Santa Ana. We have one in Spokane, and one in Sacramento, and one in Fresno.
You have none in Oregon?
Not at the moment. We had one in Portland. It is both. I have nothing against drive-ins. That does mean, however, that the car must be safe,
well,
legally drivable.
All credit to you. We've heard no criticism. It seems that all the criticism was directed at State Farm and
Allstate. But let me caution you on this, and that is, as your insurance commissioner mentioned, there are hundreds of companies writing in this state And if you tar two companies, you paint them all with the same brush.
Let me say this. I was in the insurance business for a little while, and I know that I could take my car with the companies that I represented. We could take it to any garage. The adjuster would go up there and take a look at it, at whatever garage your car was in, and say, okay, go ahead and fix it for, you know, if the price was right and they felt the garage was fair, and that was the kind of relations that most of the companies that I've done business with, that the adjuster would merely take a look at the car, and if the bid was fair, go ahead and fix it to the owner of the repair shop.
So we believe in the philosophy of writing our own when we can. That does not mean we will not negotiate with the shop or anything else, but we have appraisers. If we can see the car without inconvenience to the owner, this includes the claimant, we would like to write the estimate and get an agreed price with the shop of their choice after that shop has inspected the car for the repair.
Why couldn't you send this adjuster, as the other companies do, to the garage doing the repair, check the damage, see if it's old, if it's justified the amount being charged, instead of bringing your insured to the claim center? Let the insured go to where the garage wants to.
The claim center, we'll go to the shop of their choice and write the estimate there. We'd just as soon. We'd probably rather. As a matter of fact, some of our drive-ins have been located at shops, but we have no working arrangement with that shop.
Why don't you allow the garage to write the repair shop to write the estimate and check it out, and it's all right, accept it.
Let me answer that this way, and that is that there have been companies, and because I might tread on a foot that hasn't been heard from today, I won't name any of the companies that I know do this, but let me tell you exactly what I overheard in California, so we'll take it out of Oregon. This was a company, and his representative, his appraiser, called up the shop, said, Joe, yes, is Mary Day's car in yet? No. But it comes in, write it high, will you, because I was low on the totem pole for the amount that I'd redlined off an estimate, so I've got to gain. So then he goes in, takes his red pencil, and red pencils the things that shouldn't be in there and reduces it. Now that is fine if you're going to look at every one of them. It's not my idea of how you ought to operate or how you ought to run your business. But the fact still remains, what happens when a shop gets used to this, and then some companies didn't send somebody in, or the person who came in was the usual casualty adjuster that is not an estimator or an appraiser or an independent appraiser. There are excellent independent appraisers. There are a few absolute multiple line adjusters, but they are few.
Well, I happen to know that there are adjusters that are capable, very capable, as far as estimating collision damage to
an
automobile.
There are. There are some that you also know that are.
All they work on is...
If they are, then generally speaking, they're either appraisers or appraisal trained.
Right.
But many, in fact, in our company, and I can name many companies, there are multiple line adjusters who are out doing a usual amount of claims, generally BI. We have resident adjusters in some areas that hardly know how to drive a car, not alone write an estimate on it.
Could I ask one?
Yes.
You mentioned you had one claim center in Portland.
We did.
And you said you closed it because of the gasoline shortage.
That was just a couple years ago.
Was that the 73-74 oil embargo thing? I don't quite track there, because was that the only reason?
Basically, we're an agency company. And our agents were very reluctant to tell people to drive any closer than the nearest possible when there was a gas shortage, to conserve on energy and that sort of thing, and we went along with them.
In other words, the thing that lasted a couple, 3 months.
We reactivated the one we had in Seattle at that time and have never reactivated that.
Were you otherwise completely happy with the operation?
The volume was low because we didn't coerce people to go in them or force them to go in them, so our volume was slightly low. We'd like to have had more volume, but we had no complaints and we were not unhappy with them, and we would reactivate them if we could justify it by the number of people who would utilize it. And it is.
So in other words, you weren't insisting that they go to them.
No.
And so by not insisting, people didn't really make use of them.
About the only thing we try to insist is if you don't go down to the corner gas station to replace the windshield.
Okay, with this, we're going to conclude this hearing. and we appreciate those that participated. 708 and 706 we'll put over to you, and Senate Bill 751 to our next meeting, which will be Friday morning. Friday.